This morning, I want to continue our series of being like Jesus. And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about who Jesus was out of the book of Mark. What does it mean to be like Jesus? And we say that, you know, that Jesus is making us or molding us into the likeness of Him. And if we are all created in the image of God, and because of the fall of man, we become incomplete, you know, and thinking of those things there, you know, but because of what Christ did, He brings completion back to us spiritually, right? Because we were spiritually dead. So to be like Jesus, we must be led by the Spirit. If we follow through the book of Mark, the first week I talked about that, we have to be led by the Spirit because Jesus was led by the Spirit. He was obedient to the Spirit's calling. And then we need to follow. We need to follow the Spirit's will. We need to follow God. We need to be a follower of Christ, and He will send us out. And we know that's the Great Commission, right? I will send you. Jesus said there in Mark, He said, as the Father sends me, I also send you. And that's, you know, what are we sent to do? And that's to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. We're to preach that good news. And then last week I talked about how Jesus used to go away in a secluded place. He would get away from everything and He would pray. He also fasted too. And so I talked about praying and fasting, and I hope you guys have been doing more of that. And you know, because if we're going to be like Jesus, then we need to do the things that Jesus did. We do those things by being led by the Spirit, right? The Spirit is in control of all that. He's the one that leads you to do those things. He's the one that brings correction to you when you put your foot in your mouth. So if we look at Mark chapter 2, verse 1 and 12, we're going to find a story that you're all familiar with. And it's a tremendous story. And I know it's been preached from probably every angle that's possible. And I've heard so many sermons about this. And I've watched, if you've ever watched The Chosen, they do a scene with this scripture here. And it's just really a good scene in the movie. But it says, a few days later when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that He had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and He preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to Him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat and the paralyzed man was lying on. They lowered him down. And when Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Remember that. Now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves that, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately Jesus knew in His spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and He said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sins," He said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in the full view of them all. This amazed everyone. They praised God, saying, We have never seen anything like this." Amen. Isn't that a wonderful story? A true story. But I want to highlight one thing in there. Jesus forgives. He knew that the man needed physical healing, but he also needed spiritual healing too. And so we're going to talk about, if we're going to be like Jesus, today we're going to talk about forgiving others. Boy, now you're just going to be real quiet all morning, aren't you? We're going to talk about forgiving others, God forgiving us, and forgiving ourselves is what we're going to talk about this morning. You know, if we're going to be like Jesus, we will be forgiving. And forgiving others is as important part of being like Jesus. We live in a small town here, this city where everyone really knows everyone. Isn't that right? We know everything about them, and when they come in the door sometimes, or when we see them at Walmart, we just kind of know people. My family won't hardly go to the store with me because it seems like I know so many people, and I end up, you know, if it should take 5 minutes to go to the store, it takes me, you know, an hour because I see so many people that I know, and, you know, you got to talk to them. You know, some people are, in our city have been in trouble. They have, and we know. We know the things that's going on, and some have even done things against us personally, or maybe we've done something against them at some point. But we must forgive them. We must forgive them before they even ask for forgiveness. You hear me this morning? I'm telling you, sitting here at church is easy to say I can forgive somebody. It's easy to say that. But really, forgiving somebody in your heart and letting it go is a different story, isn't it? You know, when we're dealing in an everyday life scenario, it's difficult. It's a different story. And the Scripture teaches us that it is very important to forgive. It's very important to forgive. And sometimes it's just not easy. And if we learn to forgive others, that God gives permission to forgive us. Let me clarify that. If we fail to forgive others, then God is not allowed to forgive us if we don't forgive others. You hear me? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, it says this, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And in verse 14, it says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Man, that's a statement, isn't it? He said, if you forgive others, then the heavenly Father will forgive you. Man, that's quite an accountability on your shoulders, isn't it, to even think about. There in verse 15 says, "But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Those are Jesus' words. I find, and I know you probably do too, it very hard with some people and easier with others. Because, you know, it's hard when somebody does you wrong sometimes, and it's hard for us to say, you know, that's okay. Because sometimes it's really not okay. But in our heart, in our spirit, we're supposed to say, that's okay, I forgive you. How many times do you forgive your brother? How many times have you heard this? How many times do you forgive your brother when he sins against you? Anybody know the answer to that? 70 times 7, right? That's a lot. That takes a lot of patience. I don't know if I want very many friends like that or many brothers that I have to forgive 70 times 7. Maybe I don't want those people in my life like that, so sometimes we avoid that. That's why this is one of the most talked about topics when discussing forgiveness is, there, you know, it's hard to forgive some people, isn't it? It's like there's some people, they just don't deserve it. We don't really care. You get to a point where you're like, I really don't care what happens to them anymore. But you know, that's not the way Jesus forgave, was it? I mean, I know there's times in the Old Testament where God was like, I'm done with them. You remember the story of Moses? And when Moses was, you know, he got the Ten Commandments and he come back off the mountain and they'd made this golden calf and all that. And then after that, God was like, I'm just done with them. And Moses is like, he discusses it with God because God was finished. There was even one point where God grieved that he even made man. I know he gets to the point to where he is so disgusted with what we do because of our disobedience that he's like, I'm done with you. And then he sends his son. That's right. You know, and then he sends his son and he says, all right, he still loves us, doesn't he? You know, there's a story that I read, a Spanish story, of a father and son who had become estranged. The son ran away and the father set off to find him. And he searched for months and months to finally. And finally, in the last desperate effort to find him, the father put an ad in the paper. And the ad read, Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you very much, your father. On Saturday, 800 Pacos showed up looking for forgiveness and love from their fathers. How many of us, you know, how many of us desire forgiveness? We do. If we've done something wrong, sometimes we desire that forgiveness. We desire that. The only thing that not forgiving others does is build up bitterness in your life and in your heart. And sometimes we carry that bitterness a long time. Bitterness is described as something hard to bear, grievous, distressful, and a bitter sorrow, causing pain, piercing, stinging, a bitter chill. I've heard all these things. Forgiveness is a funny thing. It warms the heart and cools the sting. William A. Ward said that once. You know, I don't want a grievous heart, do you? I don't want distressful. I've got enough stress in my life. I don't need more. I don't need piercing, stinging pain. Of course, I felt that yesterday when I got stung by wasps. 3 times on my wrist. Man, I don't like the thought of that. But, you know, when you've done something and it's in your heart, it just eats at you, doesn't it? It's important that we understand that God forgives us, isn't it? We got to believe in God's forgiveness. The Scripture becomes, if we don't, the Scripture becomes invalid. You hear me? I mean, what would we even be here for this morning if we can't believe that God can forgive? Right? I mean, it would serve no purpose. This would just be a social club that we attended. And so if we believe that God can forgive, then He says, you should forgive, then we should forgive, right? You know, I've heard one person say, if the Scripture is invalid, then God is void. And if God is void, thus it's blasphemy even to be here this morning if we don't believe it. If we don't stand on the Word of God, if we can't understand that part, then it's really we're blaspheming against God. And it's important that we understand that God is a loving and forgiving God. He's compassionate to us. And without the full knowledge of God's forgiveness, life becomes very bitter. And we can harbor that bitterness. But there was an atonement. And it was a compensation for a wrong. Amen? And we owe a great debt for the injustice that we've committed towards God. But God decided to pay that debt for us. Amen?
Amen.
He sent His Son into this world. And someone once said that if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. And if our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If God's greatest need had been money, God would send us an economist. And if our greatest need had been pleasure, God would send us an entertainer. I'm none of those. Lord forbid that. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. So why is there times that we feel like God has not forgiven us? I believe that we feel this guilt inside of us because we haven't learned about forgiveness ourselves. We need to learn to forgive ourselves. And most of us have no trouble understanding that God will forgive us, really. This is because we understand the love of God. We sing that, the love of God, so deep, right? And pure. And sometimes I think we have a tough time forgiving ourselves. And there's two things to consider when forgiving ourselves. The first is what we've done to others. And when we run into someone and we know that we've done them wrong or done them an injustice and at some point in life, and immediately we feel this inside. That concern comes over our minds, and sometimes we try to avoid them. It doesn't really even matter whether that person even remembers it or not. But inside of us, we remember those things. I can remember things from when I was back in grade school. I can remember things that happened in high school. I can remember those things. Maybe I did something, maybe I said something that maybe offended somebody back then, and I always, when I see that person, I think, well, I hope they don't remember that. Because for some reason, it pops into my mind, and I remember that. And I have gone to people, and I was like, you know what? I hope you don't hold anything against me. Because I know maybe I was rude to you. Or maybe I was mean to you when I was in school. Maybe I said something I shouldn't have said. Maybe I did something I shouldn't have did. And they're like, what are you talking about? I've had that happen. They're like, what are you talking about? I don't know. So what do we do? A lot of times the way we deal with things is we try to put it in the past. Sometimes that seems like a good thing, but it's just putting it in our past is not good enough, is it? We got to get it off our chest. As soon as we get it off our chest, it's like what I was saying, that example of this, like, I don't even remember what you're talking about. I'm like, whew, I feel better. I've thought about this all my life. I should have done this a long time ago. You know, it's important because when God forgives, He eliminates the problem. You know? It's also important because of the day of judgment. You ever heard of that day? You know, it's in the Scripture. I know a lot of people don't like to talk about it nowadays, but there's a thing called the day of judgment in the Scripture. And we'll be held accountable for everything that we do in our lifetime. He even says that we'll be held accountable for every word that comes out of our mouth. And I'm like, oh man, I'm in trouble. Right? I'm thinking, I'm like, I'm sweating it like now. But see, God says He forgives and He forgets all that stuff. He wipes the slate clean. You become pure and white again, you know? And I've used this example before with the kids. It's like, you know, when you're born, it's like you get this big white. Yeah, that's white. Get this big white piece of bulletin board. This is me, right? And every time you do something right, you get a white sticker. Same color, you know. You get all these white stickers. You got, you know, by the time you get into your 50s, you probably got 5 or 6 white stickers. Maybe more than that. But, you know, when you do something wrong, you get this. And these are the ones everybody sees. It may have only been 2. May have been 3. May have been 4. Some of them are bigger than others. Some of them are just little mistakes. But that's what everybody sees when they see you, if they know. But God, when He forgives, this is what He sees. You know? He sees this again. When you stand before Him at the great judgment, if you're forgiven, guess what? This is what He sees because of Jesus Christ. He sees this. The world may see this, but God does this because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He covers all those sins in your life. Isn't that wonderful to know? And even though the world sees this, this is what God sees because He loves us. And He says, if I'm going to forgive, if I'm willing to forgive, you need to forgive others. You need to forgive others because let me tell you, sometimes we can be really mean to each other. We can think things, we can say things, we can do things, and we can be really mean to each other. And Paul talked, I mean, all through the New Testament, the Scriptures talk about things like being united, being together, setting all that stuff aside and uniting together, dying out to the flesh. You know, all those things are bringing us to a place to where we're willing to let go of all those things and focus on one thing. And that one thing is the most important thing that we can ever focus on, and that's being like Jesus. And being like Jesus, doing what Jesus did. And that's our main focus as a church. Being like Jesus and doing what He did. And what did He do? He was led by the Spirit, right? He was sent to preach the gospel to everyone that He met. He prayed and He fasted to the Father. He gave the Father all the glory and all that He deserved. Okay? And then He forgave. And that's what He was trying to teach the Pharisees and the leaders and the people around Him that day. He says, isn't it not good for me to forgive people? Is it not good? God has erased all records of our mistakes. It can't be held against us ever again. That's a pretty good thing, isn't it? When we stand before God on the great day of judgment, we'll be held accountable for all those things that we say and our life if we don't know Jesus. And you know, most of us don't like to deal with our problems here, but we do. You know, we all have bills to pay. Those are problems. Yeah. We all have kids. Well, not all of us, but some of us. Those are problems too sometimes. Both my kids are like, what are you talking about? We love you, Dad. They know I love them. I'm kidding. Sometimes we got school. Even at my age, I'm still, you know, trying to do better in my education, you know, and keep moving forward and learning. And, you know, and then there's work. Man, who likes that? You know, but those problems sometimes are at work, right? And sometimes our pride gets in our way, our self gets in the way, and we don't want to do that. Maybe there was things at times we'd say things to people that we know we should never say, and I know I'm the only one that's done that, so I can't point fingers at anybody. If I did, it'd have to be at myself. Because I've said things that I shouldn't have said, and I've had my foot in my mouth, and usually it's all the way to the kneecap. And, you know, I've said before that once you say stuff, you can't take it back. It's not like, oh, I'll catch this before it gets to their ear. It doesn't work that way. I am not fast enough. You guys are awful quiet today. See, those thoughts are things that people don't even know about that you know about. Sometimes we can create these things in our thoughts. And we can think things. And, you know, those things are important too, because even though you may not hear my thoughts, God does. He knows my thoughts. He knows my unforgiving thoughts. He knows my selfish thoughts, my prideful thoughts, my gossiping thoughts. And sometimes we think things about people that we shouldn't. And that's when we're like, no, I'm not going to think that, because that's not what God would want me to think about. That's not good. Because I need to be loving and kind and forgiving. Right? And that's not easy to do. Satan loves to use our thoughts against us. He loves to put those little things, you know, and manipulate the way we think. And then sometimes it becomes an action, you know, because those thoughts are in our head. And then the next thing you know, in a confrontation or something like that, it comes out of our mouth. It's so easy. David said this in Psalms 19:12. David had problems too. He says this, who can understand his errors? He says, forgive my hidden faults. My hidden faults. In one translation it says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. And I wonder how many of us, I don't want you to stand and raise your hand, I'm not going to do that. I wonder how many of us have those hidden faults, those secret faults that we know about, but nobody else does except God Almighty. And one of these days, you know, I mean, he's like, you can run and you can hide those things from everybody else, but you can't hide them from me. We must ask God and others for forgiveness. That's a good practice. And we must give forgiveness as Jesus did. And allow ourselves to receive forgiveness. And if we can do that, we'll be more like Jesus. Amen? So let's pray that God will help us to forgive others. Amen? Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning, Lord. I thank you for this great group of people that have come to worship you, to glorify you, to get closer to you, to be more like you. So Lord, help us with that. Help us to be more mindful of the Holy Spirit's calling. Lord, help us be more open to following and to go wherever you ask us to go, to preach the gospel, to share the good news to everyone we meet. Lord, help us to get in our quiet place. Lord, draw us into that quiet place so that we can talk with you. Lord, but help us today to be forgiving as you forgave. Lord, help us to help us. Lord, forgiveness is not easy. You gave your son his life to forgive us. And that should lead us all to forgive in every way that we can. Lord, I thank you again. Let us leave here better than we came. In Jesus' name I pray.